Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, we speak to people making a difference in Bedford County. Now, here's our host, Lloyd Roach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. And welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program over News Talk at 98.7 FM and 1310 AM WBFD. This morning's program is brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. Now, the people I'm about to talk to tell me they are the best-kept secret in Bedford County, which is a terrible thing, and we aim to correct that completely. We're going to be speaking to Cole Clare, who is a registered nurse with the Pennsylvania Department of Health, and her supervisor, Whitney Mullen. Now, if you never knew that there is one here in Bedford County, there very much is. It's right behind the ambulance building, which is right next to the courthouse. It is so astonishingly convenient, I can't believe that nobody knows you're here, even though you do have a nice sign outside that says, a big arrow pointing at a door says, Pennsylvania Health Department. So anyway, we are welcoming you, ladies, and thank you very much for having us. I'm going to start off with you, Nicole, since, by the way, we got official permission. This is very, we don't need to get this every very often, but the, I was at Neil in, I guess, in Harrisburg gave us official permission to have this this program. So, Neil, if you're listening, we want you to know this is now official. Anyway, it's great to meet you both. Nicole, thank you very much. And tell me a little bit about Nicole. How did you arrive here after a career in nursing? And tell me a little bit about your nursing career.
Sure. So I have been a nurse for over 20 years. Started out as an LPN. Worked in long-term care for many years. Went back, got my RN at ACM here in Bedford County. And then I since went on, got my master's degree at Chamberlain University. But after working in long-term care, I did a short-term stint in home health. I worked as a nurse care manager for an insurance company. And then I saw this job open up, and I said the same thing as you. I didn't even know this place was here. So I interviewed, got in. Public health has been kind of my passion, especially in the last, like, 5-10 years. So, yeah. That's how I got here.
It's really a different thing, isn't it, public health? I've talked to public health professionals before, and they say that it's medicine, but it's really education. It's a lot of things. Can you just kind of give me a – I'm a dumb radio guy. What do I know? But just kind of give me a little tutorial on what public health is as opposed to, say, your family doctor.
Sure. So public health is – I guess it's the big picture. Mm-hmm. So – looking at all aspects of healthcare and the entire population as a whole. So there's a wide variety of people around us, people from all walks of life, and there's all sorts of diseases, illnesses, that sort of thing. So here it is all about education, like you said, which is my passion, is educating people. So you would never believe, when you work in a doctor's office or in any other healthcare setting, how much people don't know. Yeah. And so I think education is like the most important aspect of healthcare.
Well, it sure sounds like it. And I think all of us were introduced to public health in a rather violent way when we got the COVID pandemic some years ago. And, you know, we read about that. In fact, I read a book once given to me by a colleague called The Great Influenza, which was about the 1918 epidemic of influenza. And around, especially in the area where I'm from, Philadelphia, it was catastrophic. Mm-hmm. They lost hundreds of people a day in there because they didn't know what to do. They were just learning about bacteria back then, so they didn't really know much. Also joining us today is Whitney Mullen. She's a supervisor here. Whitney, good morning. Good to hear you this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I think you're going to make a great contribution to our talk today, so I appreciate it very much your being here.
Thank you.
Let me just start off by asking a little bit about – okay, so here you are, and I am a resident of Bedford County. So why would I come to this office? Is there something you do here that isn't done elsewhere? Or tell me a little bit about the service you provide here.
We do immunizations for adults and children. We do STD testing for free, HIV testing for the STDs. We also do treatment for free. We do lots of education. We can do outreach education, that sort of thing in the community, different places. We do animal bite reports. That's a big thing here.
A what?
Animal bite reports really? Here in Bedford County, big thing.
Let me just stop you there. What kind of report would you have to give? Let's say I got bitten by a dog on the way in here.
Right.
What happens then?
So if you go to a medical provider here in Bedford County, so hospital, ER, your primary care doctor, most of the doctor's offices and the hospitals are aware. They have a form that needs filled out that just includes pertinent information, patient information, but then also like if there's a different owner for the animal and we know who the owner is, that information, and then details about what happened. And so then we reach out to the victim in the situation, get their, you know, their report on what happened. And then we provide education and guidance around the topic of rabies. So if we think that they would need a rabies vaccine based on the situation, then we would make that recommendation to them.
Interesting. I often wondered how that was done. I've been fortunate. I've never gotten a bad bite by a dog. I'm not a mailman. So, but that's interesting. That's one of the services you provide.
I want to note that here.
This is Whitney. Go ahead, Whitney.
Before I started this job, I didn't know that when you have a bat in your house, you should try and capture it and have it tested, especially if it's in a room where you're sleeping and you wake up to the bat in your room. You know, historically, we just open the window and toss it out the window and think, okay, I'm good.
Let me tell you something. If a bat flew around our rent, my wife would just go into total freak out mode.
For sure.
I probably would too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, what do you do? How do you capture it?
Right.
But yeah, we would actually recommend to capture that bat and then, you know, essentially just kind of keep it cold. So in a little old container in the fridge or freezer, and then either call us or the game commission and then we can have it tested. Try not to hit it because they're fragile little things, but we test the brain tissue at our lab.
Should we care about the bat?
Do, because if we have an answer whether the bat has rabies or not, leads us to recommend post-exposure prophylaxis.
Education, you said, is important. What kind of education should we expect to get from you folks? I mean, what am I going to hear from you?
So we can do all sorts of things, and that's kind of where our outreach comes into play. And I'm just kind of, you know, I've been here less than a year, so I'm just kind of getting into that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we are planning events. Like there's a senior expo that they have every year here in Bedford County. We plan to participate in that and kind of provide education, obviously, centered towards that population of people. So our geriatric or elderly population of people. We can do, you know, chronic disease management education. We can do cancer prevention education. We can educate on, you know, blood pressure. We do a lot of like tick information and education. We have a lot of ticks here in Bedford County, so we do a lot of that. Gun safety, various things we can do.
That's interesting to me because we're very interested in the senior citizen community here, especially this station. And we try to do a lot of, in fact, we run a show called The Senior Moment on this station.
Oh, there we go.
And yeah, I should get you on The Senior Moment. But anyway, this is important because I think when you do become older, you become more vulnerable to all this stuff. Mm-hmm. As someone who's over 65, I can tell you that that was a real eye-opener for me. I didn't think that, why should I be different now? I felt just like I did when I was 35, but it's different, isn't it?
It is different.
Worked in a life care center. You knew this, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's, I always say, like, that's my population of people. That's, you know, like, I've worked with that population for so long, so I understand, you know, a lot of the challenges that they specifically face. And so, yeah, I think it's very important to provide education to, you know, the older people in the county just because they are more susceptible to some of these things, illnesses and, you know, like I said about, you know, the tick bites and things like that. Like, you know, I think a lot of people, especially older people, like they're outside, they're retired, they're doing their thing. They're spending a lot of time outdoors. And, you know, so a lot of times when we do see like tick-borne illnesses and stuff, a lot of times it is in the older population.
I got Lyme disease not once but twice from a bad little tick. And the ticks that they tell me are very small. I never saw one. But
yeah.
That was a real experience because I didn't realize how damaging that can be. I mean, there's whole Lyme disease groups that get together. So you look for that too, I suppose.
Sure. Yeah. So we can provide education about Lyme disease. That isn't something we receive reports on certain illnesses in Bedford County. Lyme disease isn't one that we necessarily investigate, but there's other tick-borne illnesses that we look into and we reach out to people and make sure that they
Now, that's interesting because a lot of counties in Pennsylvania, it's really bad. I mean, everybody gets it sort of thing.
But, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you think with all these woods around here, you get more of it. And that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think it's still there. Right. It's still there. Those reports just don't necessarily come to us. So.
Let me pull you a little back about the public health thing. Public health is interesting to me because I'm in the media business and telling people what to look for in just everyday life. Is there any kind of tips you could offer for us to kind of give us an idea of what we should look for? Just walking around, like going to a picnic. I mean, what do you do to be careful at a picnic? You don't eat food somebody else made? I don't know.
We had that self-control.
Yeah, right. That's a trouble for me, too.
No, I wouldn't say anything necessarily about the food at the picnic. But obviously, I mean, I guess when you have big events like that, making sure you wash your hands, like mm-hmm. that's important.
Right.
I think that's like one of the most important things. I think, you know, we hear wash your hands and we heard it a million times during COVID. But I think that is like one of the things that people just don't really think enough about. And like, that's important. You know, making sure that if you're outdoors, we go back to the tick thing, make sure you check yourself when you go back indoors that you don't have ticks, you know. Make sure that if you are going to be in a wooded area at a picnic, wearing the sprays on your clothes, the insect sprays that contain that permethrin. I don't know. What else would you?
Cook your meats.
Yeah, there. That's,
yes. Summer.
Wait a minute. Let's go into
yes,
that.
So
cook
summer,
your meats. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So summer comes, and like you said, we grill out, we cook out, we have big picnics, family gatherings, holidays. We get a lot of food poisonings, essentially, so Campylobacter, Salmonella poisoning, those types of foods. Sometimes the meats aren't fully cooked or they sit out too long. And, you know, you don't ever want your meat to get to room temperature. You want to make sure you cook it thoroughly. So, you know, if you have someone who, you know, is a cook and likes to have their steaks a little medium rare or rare, maybe they think everyone wants it that way. And,
right.
you know, you run the risk of maybe getting some food poisoning that way. So cook your meats. Don't leave them out.
So let's see. I got this great big grill and I'm not a cook. I'm just a guy making steaks on a grill. Is there any way you can tell that the meat is cooked when you have it on a great big charcoal grill like that?
So meat thermometer is great.
Okay.
You know, I think honestly, just kind of going by the cooking instructions on the packaging.
Oh, no,
usually,
not reading instructions.
I know.
Now, when all else fails, read instructions.
That's our last resort. Really, just you know, just doing your education ahead of
right.
time, your research ahead of time. You know, if you are not a master griller, you know, you may want to ask Google, how long do I cook my food? And then, you know, follow up with, you can even look up specific illnesses like Campylobacteriosis, and it'll tell you it's because meat doesn't reach a certain point of mm-hmm. heating temperature. So those types of things.
I knew I'd learn good stuff when I came here. This is great. When we come back with Nicole and Whitney, we are going to learn a little bit more about this vaccine thing. At least I am. I'd like to learn more about it when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Michael Meehan, the new mayor of Bedford, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk, FM 98.7 and 1310 AM. WBFD.
Today's Bedford County Speaks is presented as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association. BCDA President Jen Marsh, along with her professional staff, are building new business, residential, and outdoor recreation opportunities in Bedford County. BCDA builds business parks and fully operational building sites, such as the newly opened Rural Electric Cooperative Operations Center in Business Park 1, or site-ready locations in Business Park 2. In addition to excellent locations for business and industry, BCDA builds relationships that have added millions of dollars and thousands of jobs to Bedford County. BCDA represents a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org.
Now let's return to Lloyd and his guest on Bedford County Speaks.
We are back at the Pennsylvania Health Department ambulance building in Bedford. And you said, what? Yeah, they're here. They really are. And they're live people here. We met two of them. And I understand there's even a third running around sometimes. So it's really great to have you here. And I'm just delighted we've met you. It really is. While we were talking about preventions and stuff, this little thing came up about vaccines. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion, Nicole, about vaccines. Oh, they're bad. They'll make you sick. One of the vaccines I hear about a lot, I guess because of my age, is the vaccine for shingles.
Sure.
And this is a big deal. My wife had this, and it is not pretty.
No.
So if you are susceptible to get this, where can you get that vaccine? Can you get it here, and what should you do?
Okay, so yes, the answer is yes. You can get the shingles vaccine here. I've had several people come in, get mm-hmm. the shingles vaccine. And yeah, so I think the older people get, we do see more shingles in that population of people. And it is awful. I can tell you from experience, I know my stepdad had it, and it had him down for like 3 days, and he was in absolute misery. He's like, go, go, go all the time. And it had him down and out. But yeah, the shingles vaccine is available here, or even your primary care doctor. A lot of people go there and get it, or they can go to the pharmacy and get it. A lot of the pharmacies have it. And most insurances cover it, I think, to my knowledge.
Right.
For here, if you wanted to get the shingles vaccine here, mm-hmm. older adults,
right.
You would have to either not have insurance or be underinsured, meaning your insurance does not cover the cost of vaccines.
Right.
And a lot of times people have like a Medicare that doesn't have vaccine coverage, or people have different insurances that don't have vaccine coverage. So those are the types of people that we see for the shingles vaccine.
So I want to make this straight. So if I have health insurance and a Medicare card, I can get a vaccine here or not? That's what
if your insurance covers it,
right?
Then no.
Okay.
Right, but you can. But the reason for that is because you can go to a pharmacy.
I see.
And get
so this
it,
is for underserved populations,
right.
That kind of stuff. Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So that's why you don't have a big line outside the door. Got it. Okay. Got it. Okay. I just understood that. So, in addition to shingles, are there some others that we should be looking for, especially with older people? I heard of something called RSV. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
That's the respiratory syncytial virus, right? RSV?
I'm glad I asked you because I don't even know if I can say that.
Yes, it's hard.
Yeah, that one's hard. So RSV, it's a respiratory illness. We see a lot of RSV, used to be primarily in babies, like we talked about it all the time, and we still recommend it for babies,
right.
But also we're starting to see it in the older population of people.
Right.
It can make you really sick. It's kind of like a flu, COVID, respiratory type illness. And so, we do have that vaccine here as well.
You actually have the vaccine stocked here, so
sure.
If somebody comes in, they can get it right away. Okay.
So, no, there's actually a season that we vaccinate.
Okay, seasons.
Yeah, and I believe it's October to May, September to May, somewhere in that ballpark. But yeah, we would be able to vaccinate then because that's when the peak virus season is for RSV.
We are speaking to Nicole Clare, a registered nurse, and Whitney Mullen, who is the supervisor here at the Pennsylvania Department of Health in Bedford, right behind the ambulance building. Actually, I think we're in their building. We're not just behind it. We're in it.
Yes,
we're actually in
we
the
are.
Building. And they also vote here. So if you vote here, you can go here. Well, you come here when you vote. I don't know where you do. But this is fascinating because I think when you said that, when I walked in, you said the best kept secret. I don't want it to be a secret. I think it should really be very well promoted that you are here, and especially the unserved population you talked about. I think they sometimes don't feel they have anywhere to go, and there is a lot of places. Do you ever do any presentations outside the building? For example, we do some work with a senior center here in Bedford County. Would there be a presentation place like that? Do you guys ever do that kind of thing? Or
yeah, we could do some outreach education. I know. So, like I said, I haven't been here super long, so I look forward to all the opportunities I'm going to get. But I know there's a health fair coming up in Fulton County that I hope to assist with. The Senior Expo. I know a lot of people go to schools. We have, at our Blair County State Health Center, they a lot of times go to the Penn State campus and do presentation and education. And also, like, they advertise our services there as well because we do, vaccines. We do the free STD testing and treatment and that sort of thing. So letting them know that, we're there, college kids. They may not have insurance or, there may be different people from different countries that come in, and so they may not have, know what they have access to. Or,
right.
And then we can, if it's not something that we do here, we can refer out to other places as well, you know.
Connected to vaccines, is there a kind of a number one health concern going on in this region right now we should know about from a public health standpoint? Is there something floating around that we don't know about or should know about?
I wouldn't say right now actively, no. You know, in outlying counties, there may be some different things, but here in Bedford County, nothing concerning at the time. So that's, we're always on the lookout for that, though. And like I said, like medical professionals in this area, they know if they're concerned about something, they call here.
Yeah.
And so we talk with them a fair amount.
Good. Whitney, let me ask you this. Is there kind of some kind of statistic that you compile here to find out what has happened in Bedford County and maybe what will happen? Do you file reports of such a nature like that?
Yeah.
I'm making this up. I didn't know if you did or not, but I just wondered if you had something.
Yeah,
like
we
that.
Actually do. We are – our game is in surveillance, essentially. So anything in the community, if – you know, we have set baseline, if you will, for each reportable illness. So, you know, in, and it varies by county because every county has different things. Some are bigger, some are smaller. But when we notice, let's say, an uptick in maybe campylobacteriosis, so food poisoning, you know, our baseline, and these, I'm just throwing these numbers out there, our baseline may be 2 cases a week, where, and that's our normal. We would expect that. But let's say next week Nicole comes in and she's got 5 or 6 cases. We would escalate that to our epidemiology research assistants, our
EPI
team.
A little bell goes off.
Yeah, and we go, hey, we've noticed we have a lot of this campy.
Right.
And then we actually do an expanded questionnaire and we start digging a little more. So when we get all of that information with any reportable disease, it goes into our surveillance system and it is put in and it's all confidential. And what that does is it generates, you have the ability to generate reports then and see kind of what each county's statistics are. And then from there, you can look and see that, you know, every August we see an uptick in pertussis because, hey, school's back in, right? Or in September, we may see a lot of more respiratory virus as well, but maybe it's not pertussis. It could, we can look and see historically we've seen more RSV peak at this time or flu, those things. So there, we do have statistics. I don't know them off the top of my head, but yeah, we definitely track them.
This isn't a test.
Yeah, we definitely track them and then essentially trend them, you know, what to expect.
Is there a season for some of this stuff? I mean, can you actually know ahead of time when it's coming?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's, and you can kind of pin it around when we get vaccines. So like, there's flu season, which ultimately coincides with the COVID season. Mm-hmm. That's when the vaccines are available. So your flu vaccine comes up in September. It's time for, you know, that it's going to start peaking the flu season. Pertussis is a big one once school gets back in. And even lately, when school lets out, those are kind of peak times that we see a lot of pertussis. So, yeah.
Either one of you can answer this question. I've heard the vaccines change every year. And because the disease changed. Like, I remember one that used to talk about in the Department of Emergency Service that H2N1. Well, H2N1 turned into H2N5 or H3N5 or something like that. I don't know where they get these funny numbers, but they have them. So every year, they have to go out and make a new vaccine in anticipation of the virus that makes it. Am I making sense here? So,
yes.
So how does that work? So how do you know?
Well, I think what you're talking about is, yes, like they mutate. So they change each year. And so,
strains.
Yeah, different strains of different viruses and different things like that. So I don't think it's like a guessing game, like this is what it's going to be this year. But I think once it starts, then we can develop that, what that vaccine needs to look like.
So it's actually China that really sets out the vaccine. They tend to get the trend first, the illness first, and that's where we see what strains for the season.
Aren't they the ones we have to thank for COVID? I mean,
essentially, yes. but yeah, well, they're kind of like the first wave we'll get it, and then from there we see, okay, we're seeing this strain of flu, these strains of flus, the H1s and 2s, whatnot, and then that's the most common, like the prevalence of those is what they put in the vaccine. And sometimes it's a hit, sometimes it's a miss.
And then we hope for the, but you know, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not as good.
So maybe that's where some of the anti-vaccine stuff comes from, is that sometimes it doesn't always work. Well, I guess it's not a perfect science in that case.
Well, and vaccines aren't foolproof.
Right.
You know, we would love for them to be 100%. You know, you got the immunity and you're never going to get sick. But they do, if you do come across the virus, the bacteria, the illness, whatever it is, we hope that with that vaccine that you've built up some immunity and that you won't get as sick if you do encounter that virus.
So the vaccine, again, so I understand this, is not to make you is not to make you better, it's to prevent you from getting sick.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So could you describe how that works?
Yeah, so that, and that's the prevention aspect of healthcare that we need to focus on more. And I think with vaccines, that's absolutely correct, what we were talking about. Like, the vaccine is to build your immunity. And so your body recognizes whatever that is, whether it be the flu or the COVID or the RSV, your body recognizes it. So when you encounter it, doesn't mean you're not going to get sick.
Right.
It just means that your body's ready. Like, your body knows, recognizes, and is able to fight it off a little bit better than somebody who has no immunity whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I think that's the idea of the vaccine. So
we're in the warm months now, and everybody's observing that the sun is out.
Yes.
So the sun is out, and we were just reminded by Dr. Wallace, who's listening to all this, that there is a sun safety function here. What do you do besides wearing a hat? I mean, give me some ideas here. I don't know. What do you do for sun? I mean, suntan lotion? What do you do?
Well, sure. Yeah, definitely. So sunscreen, big thing.
Is it really?
Yeah, sunscreen. That's a big thing, trying to protect, you know, your body. So, I mean, if you're at the beach or something like that, like, making sure that you do wear some sort of protective clothing, don't have full exposure, no sunscreen.
Well hydrated.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Another big
that
thing.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. The sun dehydrates you. So,
do you know when you're not hydrated? I mean, does it let you know by falling over, or what? How does it let you know?
Well, it could, but
first things, you usually get pretty thirsty.
Uh-huh, I see.
You might feel a little dried out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you want to stay hydrated. It's very easy to get dehydrated in the sun, especially with our senior population. You know, their skin's thinner, so, you know, they're going to burn quicker. They're going to dehydrate quicker. You know, we don't sweat as much when we're older. So, you know, there's different factors. So you want to constantly be staying hydrated with water, you know, something with electrolytes in it, not, you know, avoid your dehydrators like caffeine.
I learned something when I was in the Navy. I was at sea in the South and Western Pacific, and I remember them telling us that sun there is a lot brighter than it is in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and you can get sunburned much quicker, or more quickly, I should say, in those environments than you can just walking around your place. And that is something you keep in mind when you go to the seashore, is it not? Because the sun is brighter. Maybe there's less blocking the rays. I don't know what the technical reason is. But so let me talk a bit about sunscreen. They have numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What do those mean? I mean, higher the better?
Yeah, the higher the better, right.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the SPF of the sunscreen. So, yeah. If you're going out, like, especially to the beach, you're not going to want to use like a 15. That's not going to protect you nearly enough.
Right.
I think what we say is usually like 50 or above.
Mm-hmm.
And then reapplying. That's
yes.
the other thing.
Right.
Every couple of hours reapplying. And depending on where you are.
Because it dries out, I guess.
Yeah.
You sweat it off too.
Yeah,
it wears off.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
They make these really cool things, which are they're UV changing. You know, rings, bracelets, beads. It's a really great activity for kids, too, because kids hate getting sunblock on them.
Yeah. It's all gooey and stuff.
Right? Yes, you're slippy. It's great. So what you can do is get some of those UV-changing things. You can order them on Amazon. Some of the stores even have them. And when you apply sunscreen to you apply it to that UV item. And when you notice your UV item is changing colors from, like, the white to the orange or green or purple, it's time to reapply your sunscreen. So you put your sunscreen on, you put it on your item, and then it kind of reminds you it's time to reapply.
Nicole and Whitney, you've been terrific. I just want to thank you. You've just been great. You've been great guests. I think you've been the best guest we've had here in months.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you're bright. You're fast. I really like this. Everyone says I talk too fast, so I got to slow down for Bedford.
Me too.
I got to get to the speed of Bedford, they tell me. Did we miss anything?
I'm sure.
We talked about the vaccines. We talked about the STD testing. We primarily focused on those. We also have free naloxone here, free gun locks here.
Test strips.
Yeah, test strips.
Fentanyl and xylazine test strips.
Fentanyl and xylazine test strips that we offer free. Condoms for free. Okay, so the number for here is 814-623-2001.
I like that 623-2001.
There you go.
That's one I can remember.
Yeah.
We'll just give you that one. Thank you so much. You've just been so gracious. I really appreciate your talking to me. I really had a good time here.
Thank
and you really are great. You are. You should do more of this. In fact, we'll see to it that you do more of this.
Yeah.
But thank you very much. We want to thank both Whitney and Nicole, our guests, Whitney Mullen, Cole Claire, for joining us this morning on Bedford County Speaks. The program today was brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a feature built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org. This is Lloyd Roach. See you next Saturday. Until then, have a great week.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks over 98.7 FM and 1310 AM WBFD. The show is heard right here every Saturday at 8:30 AM. If you'd like to hear the program again, visit bedfordcountyspeaks.com. Join us next time for Bedford County Speaks.